Well, we continue today in our ongoing study of training soldiers of Christ. Now, in our previous study of weapons training, we saw from Ephesians 6, if you recall, that our chief weapons given to us in order that we might stand our ground against Satan, those were chiefly objective provisions. Remember, we saw the belt of revealed truth. We considered the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, the boots of preparedness resulting from the gospel, the shield of the faith once for all delivered to the saints, the salvation helmet, the sword of the Spirit, which was God's utterance. Now, we want to consider today other pieces of armor that are mentioned in Scripture, which are both, one, more subjective in nature, and two, have more to do with what we could call our ordinary or our daily or even hourly soldiering. Let's begin by considering another passage penned by the Apostle Paul, which bears some similarity to the passage in Ephesians. I'm referring to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we want to consider particularly verse 8. Here we read, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Now, you immediately notice that there is a different breastplate and a different helmet being spoken of here. We have a variety of defensive gear in our armament, and we need to know what piece is needed for which particular engagement. Now, to better understand this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, let's consider it in its context. I want to read for you now the first 8 verses of 1 Thessalonians 5, and then we'll begin to consider very briefly the meaning of verse 8. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, the apostle wrote, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Now, as we consider this passage, notice from the reading that the backdrop to Paul's exhortation to the Thessalonians is that of social darkness, drunkenness, and heedlessness. The culture in which the believers at Thessalonica were living was a debauched and, at the same time, an enticing society. He was concerned that they not be corrupted by these influences, and in this portion of his letter, he is warning them to be wary of the human enemies of their souls. Now, this is not to say that he was unmindful of the great enemy of their souls, because he had already made reference to that in chapter 2 and verse 18. There he said, "We wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us." So he was aware of Satan, the great tempter and danger and threat to their souls. But there were other enemies and other dangers that they needed to be watchful of. And it is these that he treats of, using again the familiar imagery of breastplate and helmet. Now, Lenski, in his commentary, says, "Here there is only a contrast between men who are living in sodden drunkenness in constant night and Christians who are living in continuous light and day, awake and sober. The sober are not to fight with the drunken, hence no sword or offensive weapon is needed." Now, Lenski is right, of course. Against these drunkards, they needed to be watchful and well guarded. They need not strike out against the drunkards. Matthew Henry says, "To be well armed as well as watchful, this is necessary in order to such sobriety as becomes us, because our spiritual enemies are many and mighty and malicious. They draw many into their interest and keep them in it by making them careless, secure, and presumptuous, by making them drunk, drunk with pride, drunk with passion, so that we have need to arm ourselves against their attempts by putting on the spiritual breastplate to keep the heart and the spiritual helmet to secure the head. And this spiritual armor consists of the three great graces of Christians: faith, love, and hope. And again, Matthew Henry is right on target there. Let's consider now then the breastplate of faith and love. Now regarding this faith, this grace of faith is part of what makes up the breastplate. But biblical faith, and I trust you know this by now, biblical faith is not something abstract. It is always having an object, and we need to know who or what this faith is in. One need not search the New Testament long to find out the object of the Christian's faith. The Apostle John, in summing up his gospel, said that these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 20, said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And again, the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae in chapter 2 and verse 5 of that epistle says, For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So the Christian faith always has for its object Christ, the Son of God. Now, concerning this love that also is part of this breastplate, the grace of love here is obviously closely linked with that of faith. They are together what makes up this breastplate. Now, whereas faith, as we have seen, has for its object Christ, the love spoken of here, I am convinced, is love for the brethren. Now, initially, before I began to study this, I assumed that the love was to Christ. But since studying it, I am persuaded that the love is for the brethren. Look there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. And then over in chapter 3 and verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. And then drop down to verse 12. Verse 12, he writes, And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Then chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And then finally, in Hebrews chapter 6, we find the same theme being articulated. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, you might ask, how does love to the brethren act as a breastplate? Well, look again in context in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. Paul said, For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned and you testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. Also in verses 11 and 12, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you, that you may walk properly towards those who are on the outside, and that you may lack nothing. So here we see this concept of brotherly love is a guard against them defrauding their own brethren, and a guard against them walking improperly towards those who are on the outside. Now, furthermore, faith in Christ is commonly linked with love of the brethren by the Apostle Paul. It is something that he regularly does in his writings. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1 verses 13 through 15, we see these things united. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. There he very naturally links these two things together in writing to the Ephesians. And notice all three graces linked again in Paul's letter to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So the apostle is ever linking these things together. Faith in Christ, love of the brethren, and then sometimes also the hope all together. These three Christian graces. And it is the faith in Christ and love of the brethren or the saints that make up this particular breastplate. Now you remember, of course, we have another breastplate that we studied in Ephesians 6. That one given to us by God, the righteousness of Christ. But this particular breastplate is a different one. And it is used differently and for different purposes against different foes. And it is against an ungodly society in which we live. Peter speaks of the love of the brethren in 1 Peter 1:22, saying, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And I think this is something of the heart of the psalmist in Psalm 16 and 3, when he said, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Now, regarding the use of this breastplate, I've already said that it is a different breastplate. It has a different particular defensive quality. How is it that this breastplate, composed as it is of faith in Christ and love of the brethren, can protect the Christian soldier? Well, first of all, in regard to faith in Christ, the Christian soldier trusts Christ to protect and deliver him from the wicked. Remember, I said that this particular breastplate is taken up and used defensively against the assaults of a debauched society. In Psalm 2 and verse 12, we read, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. And in Psalm 37, we return to it one more time. Psalm 37 and verse 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Second, and further as regards faith in Christ, we guard our hearts against the glittering trinkets of this world by trusting Christ not only as Redeemer, but also as Rewarder. Look, if you would, at Isaiah chapter 62. Christ is not only our Redeemer, he is our Rewarder, and that sets the framework for our forward-looking. Isaiah 62 and verse 11. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And then in Revelation 22 and verse 12, our Lord Jesus Christ, having already done that work, says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So we see that our Lord Jesus Christ is he who will give us our just reward in his timing. And as we keep that in view, we are less enamored with the trinkets of this world. Look, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, again, something that the Christian keeps before his eyes, keeps in view. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. Similarly, in James chapter 1, James chapter 1 and verse 12, again, this forward perspective, this expectancy. James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So again, our faith in Christ causes us to have this forward-looking view that we do not look for our reward in the here and now. We look for our reward in that great day. And that helps us to resist the allurements of the glittering trinkets of this world. Now, thirdly, as to love of the brethren, this breastplate guards our hearts by insulating them against the perversion of our affections in a debauched society. 1 Corinthians 13, you know the passage well, but we'll consider several verses. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, where this is operative, the heart cannot grow dull or twisted. Where these things are alive and well and percolating in our hearts, we have this biblical love, it will not be penetrated by the arrows of a perverse and crooked generation. It will not allow us to bite and to devour one another. It can't happen where these things are operative in the heart. Let's consider next then a helmet of the hope of salvation. We have a different helmet listed here than the one we had studied before. This is called the helmet of the hope of salvation. Now, we saw in Ephesians 6 that the helmet spoken of there, given to us by the captain of our salvation, was salvation itself, our present possession. This enables us to keep our head when engaged in close combat with Satan. Here, however, Paul speaks of another helmet, namely hope. It is the Christian's hope of future salvation. The true believer knows that salvation is both his present possession and his future expectation. He regards himself as but passing through this world. Let's look at several verses that reinforce this. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Speaking of the saints of old, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2. We are reinforcing that concept that Christians see themselves and are truly pilgrims upon the earth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now this concept of pilgrims was taken up by John Bunyan in his classic Pilgrim's Progress. And there is there in part 2 the following scene with Christiana in the interpreter's house where she learns the lesson of the muckraker. Let me just take a quick survey. Who has read Pilgrim's Progress? How many have read part 2 with Christiana? Well, many hands dropped. You need to read part 2. Pursue it to the end. This is from part 2 with Christiana. It says at this point, "This done, and after those things had been somewhat digested by Christiana and her company, the interpreter takes them apart again and has them first into a room where there was a man that..."